Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Rob Bradford and Ken Laird. Bradford and Laird. Broadcasting live from Red Sox Winter Weekend at Foxwoods on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, the freeze theme continues. Mark Morosa is witty. Hey, I'll tell you about a theme. You were talking about Belichick and praising him for keeping things together the last year and a half or so.
I sure was.
Through some tough times. One thing about Belichick, you were saying one of his great qualities, of course, is prioritizing winning. Correct? Not to take you out of context.
I don't think I said that, but okay.
Prioritizing how to win.
Yes.
Prioritize how to win.
What it takes to win. What the foundation that it takes to win, yes.
Would you also agree that going along with that is tweaking constantly despite success? Never resting on his laurels. He's always tweaking. I mean, every year.
Yeah, well, you look at the coin toss stuff.
Right. Yeah, that's true. That's an in-game thing. But I'm thinking more from just a personnel standpoint. But you're right. Yeah.
I mean, think about Ken.
He's always trying to evolve, and evolve's not the right word. But he's always.
No, but it's true. Look at some of the things that he has done throughout this run, which has changed that the teams have tried to play catch up on. The coin toss being one of them. Nobody used to defer.
True.
And now almost everybody does. This, going back a little further, the short passing game. That was him. That was their.
People would say the West Coast offense, but
it was different.
This is different. I would agree.
When the Patriots came out and started doing four wides, Ken.
Empty set. Silent count.
When they did the four wides, it wasn't the four wides because we were going to send them down the field. No, it was because you can't cover that many guys. And that was Belichick early on, and teams started adapting to that. And you go down the list of things. It's weird because he was this defensive genius, but when Patricia was here, there wasn't any sense of that they were outthinking anybody. I didn't get that
sense.
Yeah,
I would agree. Their defense has more fear teeth to it now that Patricia's gone for whatever reason.
When you thought outthinking, you thought, oh my goodness, you can't handle them, you would usually think blitzing. Well, Patricia never blitzed. Flores blitzes a lot more than Patricia does, right?
Yeah, they did. Certainly did against Rivers, it felt like. Now, the tweaking, as far as the GM Belichick goes, he gets a lot of criticism for his GMing, more so than the coaching. Belichick, the GM, gets ripped for his drafts by Mark James and others, and you go down the list. But he's definitely tinkering there as well.
By being bad?
Letting guys go, and like the Trent Brown signing has proved to be, everybody thought losing Solder was going to be a major deal.
Was a great move. I mean,
they didn't pay it, and they it's proven to be correct. Can I make one little Red Sox comparison here?
Oh, yes, you may. Evidently, though,
because the opposite,
they're basically packing the boxes around
yeah,
us.
Yeah, well, yeah, we're left on like an island with just like two stools in the middle of this grand hall with nobody around. But the opposite of tinkering is complacent.
Yep.
If the Red Sox don't sign anybody else, a.k.a. the bullpen.
Yep.
Is a theme going to be Dombrowski got complacent and he blew it? Like they rested on their laurels and they decided we're not going out and signing Kimbrel, we're not going to go out and sign Ottavino, etc. Because I can sense that being a theme of the Red Sox season coming up. They did sign Yvaldi.
I don't think complacent is the right word. I think that they would be perceived as thinking they were smarter than they were, because right now. They're looking at it, we can let the market come to us. We don't have to overpay for these guys. We don't have to prioritize the bullpen because we have proof that Brazier and Barnes and even the kid throwing Stephen Wright and some of these guys, Travis Lakins, who are coming up.
Which, by the way, those are names Dombrowski mentioned earlier today to Lou and Dickerson. Darwinson Hernandez, Mike Sharwin, Lakins, even threw out Thornburg. I almost drove off the road. He was like, don't count out Thornburg for next year. So they're really, you know, drinking the Kool-Aid of
right.
what we got enough
in. And this, to me, it reeks a little bit of going back, you know, when they lost last year and you had the five aces. And because you could make a case when you go back to that year and you had Buchholz and you had, I think that was Porcello's first year, you had Wade Miley, ugh. You had Justin Masterson, and somebody else. And you could have made the case for every single one of them. Yeah, I could make the case that they will be a top-of-the-rotation guy. None of them were. None of them turned out. Porcello was the next year, but not that year. Yeah, but you could – they did exactly what they're doing now.
Yeah.
I think there's a little more room for error when you're talking about bullpen because, number one, it's easier to get if you don't figure it out.
Yeah.
And you have more guys that can do it. But to answer your question, I don't think it's complacent. I just think that they might just feel like they have it all figured out when they don't.
It's probably a bad comparison, though, because Belichick is not like he's active going out and signing guys because you mentioned free agency before the break. You know, would the Patriots go out and get Brady weapons if they lose tomorrow? But that's kind of not his MO. I mean, he did get Trent Brown in, but the complaint has been this year he didn't bring enough guys in.
Ken, you say it's not his MO, but yes, it is in some other years where you had,
I guess, Revis.
Well, no, you're talking about weapons.
Just weapons, yeah.
The Welker Moss
that's
year.
That's true.
And then you had Cooks. You gave up a first round pick for Cooks when you didn't even think a lot of people said, well, that's just a luxury item. But you went out and you allocated a first round pick for this guy. It goes in waves with Belichick where sometimes you're like, what are you doing? You're not prioritizing it enough. And the next thing you know, you have this embarrassment of riches. Like I said, with Cooks, when you went to that year, they're going to be undefeated. They can't be stopped, so forth and so on. So I don't think you can say it's as MO never to get weapons. I mean, they drafted a running back in the first round.
Yeah. I just mean more in free agency, like because that's the comp here for the Red Sox. They're not going out and signing a big ticket. Closer, like the Yankees are, the Red Sox aren't.
I'm trying to think of the free agent wide receiver that the Patriots would have signed that would have worked out. Anyone jumps to mind?
Last year's free agent receiver,
Josh
class.
Gordon. I mean, they traded for him, though.
But they did. Well, they did trade for Gordon. I guess that's being proactive. I mean, it was a little late. Some people felt like they realized their mistake too late. They had to go get Gordon. They took a chance. It didn't work out. That story hasn't gone away because if they do lose tomorrow and play the what-if game, what if they win or what if they lose, the things Belichick will be criticized the most for are, I think number one, we'll go back to the Miami Miracle game and his decision to play Gronk at DB on the road and
right.
He lost home field
this
advantage.
I've heard this somewhat this week too. This is a direct example of when they were running Steven Jackson into the line in Miami. That whole thing. Because if you try harder to win that game, and they'll say, of course we try to win every game. No, if you try harder to win that game, then you are not playing in Denver. You are going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Fact.
Well, I agree. So that's why I don't think much is at stake for Brady's legacy, but for Belichick, a year after Malcolm Butler and a year and whatever, some change after trading Garoppolo for a second-round pick, if they lose to Kansas City, some people will blame Belichick for not getting home field because of the Miami game, and therefore it's going to be lumped together.
Yeah, he'll get criticized, but what was the bigger criticism, that or Malcolm Butler? Malcolm Butler, by far,
but this plus not getting Brady enough weapons.
Sure.
So Belichick's got a lot at stake tomorrow, is my point.
I don't think he does. I don't think he does. I think that, yeah, he'll get criticized. Like he's never going to get more criticized than he did for Malcolm Butler. Yeah, he came out on the other side of that.
Yeah, because it was in a game that directly resulted in a win or loss.
But my point is that you're saying he's going to get criticized for this stuff if they lose. You're right.
But it's going to be thrown on.
But who cares? Who cares?
It's another thing. It's another thing, but
who cares? I mean,
it's three major things in 2 years.
Doesn't matter.
You traded the future.
Doesn't
quarterback
matter.
For nothing. You lost the Super Bowl by not playing Malcolm Butler, and you didn't win that game in Miami, which you got your own field.
Ultimately,
what do you mean, who cares? That's significant.
Yeah, but ultimately, who cares? What does it make a difference? You can say that he gets heat. I'll say it again. All right, you had Malcolm Butler. That was huge. And you're going to want to lump these onto it?
Well,
those are
huge. There's
a breaking
point for Kraft.
There is?
Yes.
Okay.
And it ends in Miami.
Oh, so you're going to be like,
with
okay.
Belichick getting shipped off to the Dolphins.
You left Gronk on the field. So we're going to, you know what? You lost this game. We're going to fire you.
Well, look, Malcolm Butler was a fireable offense. People said it at
the
time.
And he survived it.
He did. But now this is this would be a third. Like this, you couldn't see Kraft coming in and saying, I can't believe it. Yeah.
First of all, what you're talking about isn't near the magnitude of the Malcolm Butler thing. So
if it costs him a title, it is. It's very much the same magnitude.
But you can't you can draw,
it's just not as
you
easy.
Can draw
to,
a
you have to be a little smarter and nuanced to
you have to be able to
lines.
Count cards yes. in order to, yeah. To figure that out.
Right.
Which you do.
One person at this table can.
Can you, before we leave this fine place, Foxwoods, yep. in winter weekend, can you give 15 minutes of, like, teaching me how to make money at the blackjack table?
See, that's the thing. I count cards, but I, like, break even. I play for 8 hours, and I just end up, like, even, and I don't make money. The best you can do hope to do over time is be 50%. That's why poker's better.
What would be the wifey? Let's just say that you're like, okay, I'm snowed in. I have to go to the casino. Mm-hmm. I'm Ken Laird.
Yeah.
What would be the protocol in terms of freeing up money to gamble?
What do you mean?
Well, like
you go to my private account, you mean?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Is how would this work? Would you call your wife, "Hey, what do you feel comfortable with me gambling?"
I'll tell you what it is. It's the Jerry Callahan bonus check. That he gave me this week. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Does she even know about
this? No, not yet.
Really?
And she might now, but she's not listening, then that would be those would be the direct funds.
That is always that's the way to go. This
thanks, Jerry.
There are some organizations I work for, which I have give the stiff arm to direct deposit mm-hmm. because I like to time out the run to the mailbox.
George in Medford up here on what show is this? This is Laird and Bradford. We're at the winter weekend at Foxwoods. Hi, George.
How's it going, buddy?
How you doing?
You guys were talking about what Belichick could do to help Brady and free agency next year, all that stuff. I just wanted, you guys can look it up. You'll probably know better than me, but I'm pretty sure that Oakland has 5 first-round picks coming up in the next draft, and then they have 3 the year after.
That's 5 first-round picks in this draft coming up?
Yeah, and that's why I said maybe you guys could look it up and check and let me know on the radio or whatever, but I'm pretty sure they got 5 this draft and 3 next draft. So
no,
they're
going
to be a full.
They have, I think they have three first round picks coming. I don't think 5, but Gruden got one for Amari Cooper, and they have their original, and they maybe have one more. Not 5 though.
Well, maybe you can look it up then, or someone in the office, because I'm pretty sure I heard they had 5 this coming draft. And
Callahan's in the office. Can you look it up?
Yes. Yeah. I'll ask Jerry. I mean, well, so what's your overall point though, George?
Well, I just think that they're going to be a big force.
Oh, they're the force.
They're
the next
force. Year or two.
The Mike Mayock, John Gruden.
I tell you what, I saw that stadium when I was out in Vegas. I saw that stadium being built. That's going to be a wild scene there. I mean, that stadium is right next to Mandalay Bay. It's not like on the outskirts of Vegas. That's going to be crazy.
Well, I just think I like Gruden, too, and I think that over the next 2 years, starting next season, that Brady's going to have his hands full if he does stay in the league, because I think Gruden's going to draft some really good people, and I think it's 5 this year and 3 next.
I just looked up. They do have 3 this year, George. Thank you for the call. But I'll tell you about this. They got, in the division, Patrick Mahomes. So I know Derek Carr looked pretty good a year ago, but don't you see Mahomes being around for 10 years?
I do.
As being like
much
really
like,
good?
Much like his father, he was going to be exact around it for the
Did
exact.
Did you cover him?
Sort of, but more importantly, I kept drafting him for my fantasy baseball team.
Stratomatic team?
No, not Stratomatic. No, my fantasy baseball team. And he was always like the guy that you thought was going to have a breakout year. He never did. So anyway, going back to the whole Gruden Raider thing, Ninkovich said this. I can't remember if it was off the air or on the air, whatever. It's going to be on the air now. Is that when they go to Vegas, it seems like a good idea. You're going to get guys in free agency and you have Gruden there. But that environment is going to be tough. He had made the point that it's a lot easier when you're living in Foxborough, in Attleboro, whatever it is, and you have these guys who are in their early 20s, mid-20s, and they're doing it right in the heart of Vegas, and they get the free time that football allows. That's going to be a challenging thing, I think.
As is, do you want another kerosene take?
No, do I ever.
Gambling coming to Massachusetts.
Okay.
The Red Sox, Patriots, going to tie in with the casino in some form or fashion?
Yep.
New stadium right near the new casino.
For what?
Get rid of Fenway.
For the Red Sox?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think they get rid of Fenway. Okay.
I
was so optimistic when you talked about gambling. I was like, well,
yeah, went nowhere. That was terrible.
were you making that up on the fly?
Yeah, it was just on the fly. I had another cool point, though. Back to Mahomes.
Yeah.
You look at Brady over the course of his career.
That is a very cool point.
Brady has gone through the best of the best of his era, right? He's gone through Peyton Manning. He's gone through Roethlisberger.
Yeah.
Who else did he beat that was a big name in the AFC playoffs quarterback-wise?
Blake Bortles.
Yeah, that wasn't so sexy. McNair.
Yeah.
He was, pretty MVP-ish candidate at the time. So he's going to have dominated all these quarterbacks. If Mahomes ends up being MVP for multiple years, which I think he will be.
Yep.
And Brady beats him tomorrow, he'll always have that sort of feather in his cap. He beat the old guard.
He might put him over the top, and he might get in the Hall of Fame.
He might get in the Hall of Fame.
That's amazing.
I just think it's a cool sidebar. It's just LeBron and Jordan, the passing of the torch, so to speak. But, Brady's still beating the young guy, too. He's beating the MVP in his building in his first year.
I don't even know what to say to that. Like, what is –
it would be an awesome foot. It would be historical.
Is this what you're going to lead off your show Monday morning with?
I'm on Monday through Friday.
That's what I heard.
Ralph and Cranston before we take a break. What's up, Ralphie?
Hey, guys. First of all, I was very disappointed that David Robinson wasn't signed. I thought he would have been perfect. Now I'm hearing – I was in the car today, and I'm hearing Dombrowski. Well, we're going to rely on Thorne. But, I mean, this team lost Kelly and lost Kimbrell. They're two power relievers in the back end. And they also don't have to re-up Pomeranz. They saved some money here, even though they re-signed Devaldi. I think that was asinine, but it's kind of asinine, unless I think of Ken Laird saying that Bill Belichick survived the Malcolm Brown thing. But did you say that, Ken?
Malcolm Butler.
You said that before. Malcolm Butler. Did you say that?
That what, he survived it?
No, I said he survived it because here they are in the AFC Championship game after all that controversy. I mean, you can still think that he messed it up, but the fact of the matter is, Ralph, is that they're sitting here in the same place they have for the last 8 years.
Yeah, but there's no guarantee that if Butler had played, I mean, people act like, oh, absolutely, they would have won. Whatever he did, it upset the best mind, the best coach this team has ever had. And not only that, when he finally does step down, I don't care if Brady's here or not, it's going to take this organization 7 to 10 years to recoup. The man is the best organizer. The man is one of the best general managers and the best coach in the history of this team. We don't always agree with what he said, and I didn't either. Rob, I didn't like it. I thought he should have fired him. What do you have to lose by putting Butler in? But he didn't do it. But what this guy has done over 18 years, this organization is going to be much poorer whenever this guy decides to step down.
I don't think anybody would disagree with that, but he did survive the Malcolm Butler decision short term. I'm just saying, I'm not even sure what Ralph's overall point was.
It went from Tyler Thornburg to Malcolm Butler.
Well, I like
quick.
That, the man after my own heart. But back to Robertson, since we're talking bullpen real quick. He could still bring Kimbrel back. Kimbrel's not gone. He isn't signed anywhere, and Kimbrel has no suitors. So this is starting to feel a lot like J.D. Martinez last year, right?
I think you landed at J.D. Martinez. It was like when they landed at J.D. Martinez, it was still a decent contract. You get 5 years, 110, you get the opt-outs. You're making $25 million for the first 2 years, and then you make your money, whatever it is. But with this, if it falls to the Red Sox, it is going to be a contract that you never thought possible. In other words, it's going to be a two-year contract. I don't even think
they'll
go.
Why not 1 year? Why not just 1 year,
well,
15?
Maybe that's the case. Maybe it's the case. And that certainly isn't what Craig Kimbrel is looking for.
But he would save face. He said, well, I'm making $15 million a year. We'll reset tomorrow, next year. The market will be different.
At this point, I wouldn't rule anything out. I wouldn't rule out the Phillies signing him either. But it's this whole idea that the Red Sox are going to go up to 3 or 4 years and sort of meet Kimbrel up there.
Yeah.
That's not happening.
I
know for a fact that with Ottavino, so Ottavino was landed at 3 years. The Red Sox weren't going 3 years on Ottavino.
Were they close on him or not, really?
No.
Oh, really?
Because they weren't going 3 years on Ottavino. And the Yankees
multiple
were.
Multiple other teams were.
Yeah, and the Yankees were, much like Kelly. They weren't going 3 years on Kelly. And what that does that tell me? I'm not saying that Ottavino is the same pitcher as Craig Kimbrel, but that tells me what they're allocating for a relief pitcher.
All right, a couple segments to go. Get your last licks in, Patriots and Chiefs. And then, of course, tomorrow, Mutt and the Gang, NFL Sunday. We'll be back at you at 10 a.m. But we're here until 6. Red Sox Winter Weekend at Foxwoods. It's Laird and Bradford on Sports Radio WEI.
It's Rob Bradford and Ken Laird. Bradford and Laird. Broadcasting live from Red Sox Winter Weekend at Foxwoods on Sports Radio WEI.
You're as cold as ice. You're willing to sacrifice our love.
Foreigner. Foreigner coming back.
Is it snowing out yet?
I don't think so. I can't see.
I know. We're in the glorious ballroom at Foxwoods.
More importantly, Ken Laird picture request.
Oh, my goodness.
Rob Bradford, 0.
Well, I mean, in the last 5 minutes, yes, that is accurate.
In the course of the show, nobody's approached you.
That is true. I'll be first to admit,
you're angry lately. You're going after all EEI staff.
Yeah, your brand has never been hotter. And that's a good feeling. Because not only did he ask to take a photo with you, but while he's taking the photo, he says, this is a dream come true. When has that ever happened to you, Ken?
Sort of tongue in cheek, but you know.
It was absolutely not tongue in cheek. That was as genuine as it could be.
Good kid. He's going to do well in this world.
Love it.
I'm 40 now. I can call people kids.
So don't you want to come out and about a little bit more now that you come down to Foxwoods?
Yeah, I like this.
Experience. Get out of the studio.
Look at this.
Well, this is a whole new world for you.
It is. I'm gonna reshape the brand.
There you go.
Where were we? We're talking about a lot of Patriots.
Let's reset.
You want to reset?
Yeah.
What has been the best topic?
The best moment of the show is when your first question, Rick Porcello.
Oh, jeez. Was you interrupted? Like, you could have let me dangle.
No.
Because Porcello was going to give me a stock answer.
But that was going to be the problem.
You think it would have gone down the wrong path?
But you didn't have a good
question to come back with.
It was a better question. And it was going down the right path, but the problem was is that you asked the question basically about how awesome it is to win or something.
Yeah, but
like
you
that.
Introduced them, and then you were. I was looking for you to follow up with the first question in the interview. And
you're
there was
driving
silence.
The bus. You're the host.
No, but you took the reins, and then you were just like looked at me. So I said, okay, well,
you asked the question,
and the
problem normally that'd be okay, but then it was going to be a long answer. And then everyone would have tuned out. So I jumped in, I spiced things up a little bit, we got back on track.
Oh, it was a rocky start to the show. We've been okay since. Now, Chris Sale was here earlier.
Yes.
You mentioned his comment about nobody's calling him about a contract.
Which does not surprise me at all.
His phone lines are open. No, I would agree with that. One of the quotes he had with Lewin Dickerson was, he tries not to focus on that, and it can consume you, was the quote. I jostled this down on the way down.
We did jostle it.
It can consume you. So he's aware of not being aware of contract stuff, but do you think that and or the arm will be a major talker for the Red Sox this year with Chris Sale? Like, he's talking about this plan they have. They're going to be careful with it. I mean, I get the sense they're going to really baby him for the first 3-4 months
of
the year.
Yeah, well, they did last year, and look how it ended up.
Even more so.
Probably. This whole contract stuff today, when these players were coming up, this is what we were talking about. Besides the White House, everybody.
Oh, speaking of which, Chris Mason, or one of the guys, said there were a few Red Sox players off the record that said, I'm not going. Did anybody on the record say?
Devers said he wasn't going. Rodriguez basically...
Politically? For political reasons? Or Devers just said, I'm not going?
No, he just said he's not going. I don't think he's very political. I just don't think he's going.
Erod,
it seemed like he wouldn't commit, but he also said it would be nice to have a day with my family. So I didn't seem
setting
like
up for it.
Yeah. So he doesn't seem like he's
on the
going.
Contrary. Chris Sale said going.
Chris Sale going. Steve Pierce going. Mitch Moreland going. Rick Porcello going. And this was by far the worst part of the day in terms of us doing our job. Mookie Betts was the first one up there at 9 o'clock in the morning. We did not ask him about the White House.
Ooh.
That was terrible. That was awful.
Bunch of Homer media guys.
Well, I mean, we asked him a lot about, like, how cool is it to make $20 million? Are you going to get an extension? We were so
hyped. Remember that time, Mookie, you made $20 million? That was awesome.
That was awesome. But the whole focus was, like, his contract, because that's what we've been focused on. But that was a mess, so we don't know.
Cora, by the way, with Lewin Dickerson, threw out there that I don't often run from things. Sort of was he was sort of backtracking on his we'll see. It came off to me that he's now going to go.
I still think he's going to go.
Yeah.
I think that when he talked the other day at the baseball writers dinner,
which you skipped.
Was it? Well, how did you get the sound then? I gave you the sound. How would I skip it? I was there.
Hannibal, good.
There you go. But I think that the report from the Washington Post had just come out, and that was pretty raw. And in case you don't know what that was basically the people saying behind the scenes that Trump didn't want to give any aid at all to Puerto Rico throughout the hurricane crisis.
Yeah.
So I think that had just come out. So he was like, listen, we're going to have to see. This report just came out. But, yeah, I think he's going to go. And who else was there today? Nunez was noncommittal. I don't think he's going to go. I don't think – and Sam Kennedy up there had said that players have reached out to them and said they aren't going to go. Some of them said they aren't going to go.
But if he's got Sale and Pierce and Cora in, that's enough where I think Trump won't throw a fit and he won't disinvite them. Because that's
no, do you think this government shutdown is going to be over? Because if the government shutdown is still going on, they're not going.
Yeah, I guess. Why though? I don't understand that.
They just feel like there's a lot
that's
of people.
An excuse, that's a way to get out.
Yeah, well, maybe, but there's also they feel there's a lot of people impacted by this, and it'd be a bad look for them. So all of this is set up for I don't want to say excuses, but reasons why the logical reasons why they don't have to have people go. This February 15th date is before they actually even report
the position players.
The position players even report. So they can say, well, I'm not even there.
Right.
And supposedly the White House is the one that determines what date it is. I know that previous years, the last time they did it in April, previous years they did it at the end of February and the beginning of March. So it's not out of the realm of the normalcy to do this now. But still, all the reasons that we're saying, this, it doesn't surprise me that guys are bailing.
Bigger question is, well, how do you feel about Tomasi refusing to go?
I don't have a problem with it.
He's a reporter. No matter what you feel about it, to go and be, he can get on the White House lawn, shout something up at Trump.
First of all, I've heard this from like now because Jerry jokingly said
it. You defend Tomasi 100%
sure
of the time.
Sure I do, because he deserves to be defended 100% of the time.
He's refusing an assignment. If you said go to the White House,
And your hosts of your show have never refused to do anything.
Like what?
Like everything.
Well, give me an example.
Let's give the example. If Jerry Callahan,
he went to the White House multiple times.
Going to honor
Sam Kennedy.
Nancy Pelosi.
Sam's going to join our show. The first interview of spring training.
There you go. Hey, listen, John doesn't want to go. That's his thing. That's his stance. And
that's amazing.
And you know what? The other part about this, it's a waste to go. Like those guys. When your show went before, and Spicy got them to wave from the balcony
Yeah, held up a K card or whatever.
Yeah. Okay. Great. I mean, great. But I'll be the first to admit, like, it's not worth going from a reporter's perspective.
It definitely is worth going.
I know. Have you ever been?
The owner of the Boston
Globe
going to the White House have his team.
You're right. You're right. So it's important to write about it and to report on it. My point is, you don't get anywhere near them.
Jerry shouted up at Trump.
I know he was
2 years ago.
Well, that was again because
Thornton did. But
Spicy was in his corner.
Okay, so you're saying they lost that connection? They will not get that close.
I my guess is that maybe they have cooled a little bit.
You're just defending Tomasi at all costs.
But to go back to the guys,
this caller is a good point, though. I want to get to this. Good.
Is this about what we're talking about?
No.
What's it about?
You interrupting me all the time.
Go ahead,
Scotty in Freetown. Hi, Scotty.
Yeah. I was calling because every time the other guy says something, I'm sorry, what's the guy's name, Ken?
Yeah, Ken, yeah.
Ken, every time Ken says something, Bradford, like,
what?
Great point.
I don't agree with you.
Great point, Scotty.
And then, he's so much better, you guys stop.
I am better.
You do talk down to people, not me so much, but especially Drellick. You always cut Drellick up. Yeah.
Who else?
When he's with other guys, he doesn't act like that.
I love Ken.
And then, did Bradford, did you say supposedly with a B?
Maybe. I could have.
Yeah, I'm listening to you.
I'm going to even try to say it. Supposedly.
Two great points, Scotty.
Excellent call.
That's the call of the day.
Excellent call.
You interrupt, as John Dennis would say, is a poor radio quality. Now, our next caller has an interesting point because.
Where am I going to get my point? We only have 15 minutes left. We're talking about the whole
White House.
Go ahead,
finish up.
What's the caller want to talk about?
He wants to know if Dino's hosting this week because there were some hints that that might be the case.
All right,
on
let me get to my point real quick before. No, you know what? We'll finish with my point. Go ahead.
No.
What you're driving the ship. What do you want to do?
Yeah, I want you to finish your point because we have to go to break.
My point is that we go down the list of guys on the Red Sox who have already said that they are going to the White House. It does not surprise me at all because, number one, baseball is the least political of any of the sports. Not even close. And
hey, J.D. Martinez has guns.
Exactly, and he did not want to talk about that at all. And the reason is, I think my theory on it is because they're around each other so much where, you know, what's politics? Politics can get uncomfortable in a tight-knit situation, and that's what that is. That's what baseball is. They don't want to talk. You never hear people talking about politics in a clubhouse. And also, the guys who are political, typically they're leaning Republican conservative. So this doesn't surprise me at all. If you go down the list of Red Sox, my guess is the 75% Republican conservative, Trump guys.
Interesting. Trini would disagree with you, and she said as much. Final thoughts on Pat's Chiefs. Final thoughts from Bradford and Winter Weekend. We'll get that caller in. That's all coming up. We're at Foxwoods. This is Sports Radio WEEI.
It's Rob Bradford and Ken Laird. Bradford and Laird. Broadcasting live from Red Sox Winter Weekend at Foxwoods on Sports Radio WEEI.
There it is. Bring it on home. There's like a panic already from the staff that the snow started already in Boston. We're screwed. Have to stay overnight at Foxwoods.
I may have to.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, and I know you look conflicted. You look very conflicted.
No, I'm going to go back. too many important things going on in the big city tonight, so we got to get back there. But you're going to stay here. You're going to hold down the...
Who knows? Yeah, I'll
be here.
So whatever.
Final thoughts. Give me your Pats Chiefs final digs here for the...
What did I predict?
Game tomorrow.
30-27. I picked it on Monday, so I'm not getting off of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was 30-27 Pats, something like that.
Do you think, what's the big storyline you can envision? If you're right and the Pats win, what are the headlines after the game? Brady's great, whole thing?
If they win, it's Brady's great, and
he'll go for
six. And we underrated the defense. They figured out, they did something that we didn't think they were going to be able to do.
Because Mahomes... melted down, just because the Patriots confused them?
Well, boy, you look at some of the highlights that we've seen from that first game. It's Patriots intercepting Mahomes. Mahomes didn't throw a touchdown yet. I mean, he still scored 40 points.
Yeah.
So, if they win, I think it's going to be Brady in the defense. If they lose, a big thing, they're going to look at Gronk, I think, and say, where was Gronk? Because they could have really...
Either way, I think Gronk's a huge storyline in this game. Either he has a big game because they doubled Edelman and he showed up and he stretched the field down the seam and the passing game was still effective, or he doesn't show up and it's done and that's the bitter finale.
Yeah, well, think about it. If they lose and he has a bad game, then that's the Gronk conversation immediately jumps to the top of the list.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even think there's much of a drama there anymore. It seems so... like a foregone conclusion,
well, sure.
He's going to retire. But
yeah, but still, I mean, he has to do it, or he has to do something.
And if they don't,
that's going to be news. That's going to be your news on Tuesday. That and getting
and
the
Belichick
kid,
getting the Dolphins job.
That get the Belichick getting the Dolphins job, and getting the kid who just asked to take the photo with you, saying it was a dream come true on the phone. Maybe as a 2-hour guest. 2 hours?
Yeah.
2 hours?
I would agree.
Okay.
Now, Sox winter weekend's wrapped up. You got spring training on the mind after that. So it's
not too far away. Not too far. Is it 3 weeks away? Not too far away. Well, this is, like I said to you, I think before, it used to be where you went to spring training and whoever got there early got a chance to talk to these guys for the first time in the offseason. We talked to everybody today. I mean, J.D. Martinez wasn't here. Pedroia wasn't here, but as you know, I already talked to him, so it doesn't make a difference. Who else wasn't here? Price wasn't here. Jackie Bradley wasn't here. I talked to him already as well. So it's not like we've talked to these guys.
Yeah. Well, but what surprised me the most, the biggest takeaway from the weekend is just Red Sox fan. I can't believe the amount of people here. I mean, I'm sure it's been crowded every year, but it's always the year after the title that the excitement.
Yeah, but
the
see this thing. It shows you what a strong base they have.
Yep.
But
you don't think that's indicative of the passion right now for the team?
No, because every single year has been like this. It's a great event.
That's not what Colin Burch said.
It's
record time they sold out this year.
Right. So Because they won. Because they won.
No, but I agree.
But the people. But I think the people who are here, the diehards, and certainly you see the people here. Everybody has Red Sox shirts on. Everybody has some sort of Red Sox gear on. And we're so cynical and we're so skeptical. We're like, oh my goodness, this many people own Red Sox shirts?
I know it is.
But you come here. Right, I mean, because we live in an insulated, or you live in an insulated world.
Where, I do.
Well, I mean, to a certain extent, where you say all you hear is Red Sox negativity, right? And rightfully so.
That's Jerry's such a honk. Are you kidding
me? That's what drives the bus. But you would never think you're going to go to Foxwoods and you're going to be walking around. And there's going to be thousands upon thousands of people, not only here, but for some reason wearing, you know, Fernando Abad shirts.
Call Mutt tomorrow. He's on at 10 a.m. Rip him.
For what?
Anything. I mean, it's okay. Easy. Just do it. He's on 10 to 2, 4 hours, so he needs help and he needs to be...
By himself?
No. He's NFL Sunday is the big cast, but
I'm looking
he'll be
forward.
Taking calls.
No,
big
I'll
day tomorrow. Listening. You can listen to both NFC and Patriots Chiefs.
It's going
to
be great. It's
on WBEI.
It's going to be great. They're going to win. Going to have Super Bowl. It's going to be great.
I had fun, Rob. Thanks, buddy.
Oh, look at this. A fist pound.
Best of WEI coming up, including the best interviews of today. I believe Dombrowski is going to be first up, but you'll hear from Sale. He was on with Pedro at the same time, and Cora and David Ortiz. A lot of good interviews coming
Excellent
up.
Excellent job, Ken.
From down here at Red
Excellent
Sox
Excellent job.
All right, talk to you soon.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.